Ladies and gentlemen, this is Jay Booksbaum. You know me probably from wine and spirits, but I want to tell you something. Even though I'm in that area of expertise, you're about to hear from Rahama Bistritsky-Klapman, who runs MASS, Mothers and Fathers Aligned Saving Kids. They're in their 20th anniversary. They've got over 45,000 families that they've helped over the years. It's an amazing program. It's called Family Matters. And if you've got any issues with bullying or alcohol or substance abuse or any other kind of abuse, they're your place to go. I'm really excited to introduce you all to Rahama Bistritsky-Klapman here on Dev Brenner's Talkline Communications Network every Thursday night at 9 o'clock. Listen to Rahama and Family Matters.
What are we gonna do with our children? What are we gonna do to show we care? How are we gonna be there for our children when they feel that life has just not been that fair?
Good evening and welcome back to Family Matters, MASC's weekly radio show. MASC Mothers and Fathers Aligned Saving Kids. We have a helpline. We're a referral agency for all mental health issues, including addictions. We are in schools. We do PTA staff trainings. We do parent trainings. We're in the schools. Someone's school is interested, any of our listeners, you want to bring a speaker into your school, call the MASC helpline, 718-758-0400. It could be on any issue. We will get the right speaker for your school, for your topic. Tonight, we have with us Chaya Murmerstein and Cheryl Friedman from the SOVRI Helpline. Chaya Murmerstein is a clinical social worker and family and child and adolescent therapist and works at the Child and Adolescent Psychiatry Unit at the Mount Sinai Beth Israel Hospital. Cheryl Friedman is in the Victim Services Program also at Mount Sinai Beth Israel Hospital, and I'd like to welcome both of you. Thank you for coming on tonight.
Thank you so much for having us, and thank you, MASC and Zev, for having us.
Thank you very much, and thank you for having
us. So tonight's topic is a very hard topic to talk about. I'd like you first to describe what is SOVRI, how is it under the Mount Sinai Beth Israel Hospital, is it a separate helpline? If you could just describe who would call in to SOVRI, because I know that we send so many families to you, both Chaya and Cheryl, and I think it's something that the community is so unaware of, even the services that you offer. So Cheryl, can I ask you to describe what the program is, the SOVRI Helpline, please?
Sure, absolutely. So the SOVRI Helpline, SOVRI stands for Support for Orthodox Victims of Rape and Incest. And it is a confidential and anonymous helpline housed in Beth Israel under the auspices of the Social Work Department. And what it is a helpline that answers calls literally from around the world, either from survivors of sexual abuse. We've gotten phone calls from family members that are concerned about sexual abuse. We've gotten phone calls from therapists that are working with an Orthodox client who has been abused and is not aware of some of the nuances within our community. Chaya and I together, we train volunteers who sit on the helpline. Our training is modeled after the New York State Department of Health, and it's a 40-hour intense training that includes lecture, it includes role play, and so our volunteers then take shifts and answer the calls on the helpline, which is actually housed at Beth Israel.
And what are the hours for the SOVRI helpline?
The SOVRI helpline is open Monday through Thursday from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. and on Fridays until 1. We're closed on legal holidays as this building where we are housed in the hospital is also closed, you know, on legal holidays.
Okay. Chaya, I'm just wondering for our listeners if you could describe what kind of situation should a parent be the one dialing your helpline?
Okay, that's really very important. What parents need to know is that any contact or interaction between a child and another person where that child is being used for sexual gratification of that person constitutes sexual abuse. It's contact of any intimate nature. But it doesn't only have to be physical. It can also be related to voyeurism, child pornography, the use of inappropriate language or sexualization in the house, people walking around inappropriately in the house. Often when you ask the person or the child, do you feel uncomfortable with that kind of situation, whether it be physical contact, viewing inappropriate movies, or hearing language, or seeing people in compromising situation, the child and often even the adult will feel very, very uncomfortable. And that's a pretty broad but accurate definition of sexual abuse.
So, I mean, they say that usually children that are sexually abused are most likely not abused by a stranger, but by someone they know and trust.
That is actually correct. The idea that you need to stay away from strangers is something that might be true, but right now we're finding that statistically only 10% of the people that we know of who are abused by strangers. The other 90% are abused by somebody they know, a family member, a neighbor, or somebody that they have proximity to.
And I'm also taught that 23%, when I was taught it was 23%, maybe the numbers changed since, of reported cases of child sexual abuse are perpetrated by individuals under the age of 18. Can you bring me up to date on that, on our listeners? Are many children abused by younger children under 18? What are the, you know, statistics that you've been seeing over the last couple of years, please?
Cheryl, do you want to take that or should I?
I can answer that.
Okay.
We actually have seen, with regard to incest, when it's between siblings, unfortunately, we've had an increase in calls from mothers who are just finding out or just being told by their younger daughters that their sons have been sexually abusing them. And so in that category, it is definitely under 18. 19 that we're finding. But for those that are being sexually abused in the community, not within the house, we are finding that it is older. It is an adult. It might be a neighbor. It might be a Rebbe. I don't have statistics for you, but I can tell you that, unfortunately, it's both very much inside the home, which would agree with the under 18, unless, of course, it's the father, or outside of the home, it's generally older adults.
The only other thing that I would add is that some people are surprised to hear that sibling incest is the one that is most commonly happening.
Yeah, so on our helpline as well at Mass, we have with us today Chaya Murmerstein and Cheryl Friedman. I really want to thank you both for being on with us and talking about this most painful, confusing topic. Sovri Helpline, I'd like to give out that number. Chaya, can I ask you or Cheryl?
Sure.
To give out the number, please.
Well, happy to do it. Our number is 888-613-1613.
And anybody that has any questions that they're struggling with, understanding on whether or not their child, their loved one, or themselves can call the helpline, the Sovri helpline, anonymously, and talk to Chaya or Cheryl and speak to them.
Or one of our volunteers.
Thank you.
Yes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
To ask their questions. They could call anonymously, Chaya, correct?
Totally. Totally, and we have no caller ID. Totally
right,
anonymous.
Right, so this way it gives our listeners tonight a chance to have the option of calling, discussing their concerns, or something that may have happened to them. And for those listeners tonight, that something may have happened to you, maybe years and years ago, mm-hmm. and this may be a very painful topic to listen to tonight, we want you to know that there are people out there, there are organizations, there are professional therapists out there ready to help whatever it is that you're ready to make the phone call, to have the courage to pick up the phone and start to heal. I'd like you, Cheryl, to talk to my listeners about having the courage to pick up the phone. Can you please speak to my listeners, Cheryl?
Sure, absolutely. What we have seen from the helpline is that often we have been the first phone call that a caller makes. Now, sometimes when the abuse is actually happening and a child tries to tell someone and they don't get the response that they're looking for, they don't get support, they don't get the validation, they close down, and it takes them many, many, many years before they will even think about sharing this again. So what we have found is most of our callers are not actively being abused, but they have a childhood history of abuse. For some, we get phone calls. A lot of our phone calls come from those that are starting to enter Shidduchim, and they're remembering, you know, things that happened to them, abuse that happened to them when they were younger, and they're afraid. They're afraid to date. They're afraid to even start thinking about being with someone from the opposite sex. And I just want to remind your listeners, Ruchama, that both males and females are sexually abused, and both men and women are abusers. And I think that's an important point that people tend to forget about that.
Right, it's all ages, all races, all economic backgrounds are vulnerable to sexual abuse.
Exactly.
And sexual affects both girls and boys in all kinds of neighborhoods and communities worldwide.
Correct.
This is not just something happening in Brooklyn, in New York. It is happening everywhere. So we cannot let our guards down with our family members, our children. You know, I wanted to actually bring up, over the 20 years that MASCS helped over 45,000, we're up to over 46,000 families this year, we've had so many phone calls from people on our helpline that have had Shabbos guests, and parents
yes.
have gone to sleep, and
correct.
Years and years later, their child shears, or their older adult that's in their 30s and 40s and 20s sheared that they were abused by a Shabbos guest, someone they trusted and invited into their home. So, Chaya, can you just talk about that issue, please?
Yes. I think one of the things that is so important for parents to know is to, first of all, have oversight. When people come into your home, I mean, we've heard of stories where, you know, even silver was stolen in the middle of the night by some supposed Shabbos guest. And even though they might not have been abused, but there was somebody who was really doing something illicit. People, the frum people do so much chesed, and we like to help other people, and we invite people into our homes. But we really need to remember that we have to be extremely careful. If inviting people into our homes, they cannot be left to their own devices. We cannot assume that because somebody has a beard or somebody's a rabbi or somebody's a rebbetzin or somebody's a teacher that there isn't some kind of dangerous proclivity that they may have. And our tendency is to do good, but we cannot do good on the backs of our children. So we really need to be very, very careful. And this brings me maybe to another subject, is where children should not be in a position where they need to kiss people and hug people, that children need to have the right to say, no, I don't want him, I don't want to sit on her lap. I don't want to give him a kiss. I don't want her to hug me. And we teach children to put aside their dislike of putting themselves in certain physical positions, and then they learn that they just have to put up with rather than having autonomy over their own bodies. So again, it's about really watching and listening to our children.
Thank you, Chaya. I really want to make this statement. If a child discloses abuse, it is critical to stay calm, listen carefully, but never blame the child. One needs to thank the child for telling you and reassure the child that you're there to support them, and then pick up the phone and call Sovry. Sovry will help with guiding you, getting you with professionals when need be. I'd like to address the issue of reporting. Can you please let our listeners know it's a very complicated issue, and therapists are mandated reporters, but there are some different ways that you can do it with the therapist. You don't have to go through this alone. Chaya, can you elaborate, please?
Yes, thank you. That's a very, very important issue, and it's a very controversial issue in our community. First of all, when people call the helpline, we don't know who you are, and we don't have any kind of caller ID. So we're not in a position to make reports, and that we don't necessarily see that as our role. But we certainly will support a person going through that process and explaining to them the options, explaining to them what the repercussions can be if a perpetrator is not stopped. We have people who work in our community, who work in different agencies, who even work in ACS, and who can really be conduits for helping people, even in the police department, who are conduits for helping families where a report might need to be made. Because when, I think it's important to remember that when you have an adult abuser, these are people who could have been abusing 200 and 300 children in their career.
I'm glad you brought that up, Chaya, because people call on the helpline and we get them to go to therapists, to SOVRI, to many other organizations that we refer to, and they do get treatment, but they are shocked to learn that it could be over 100 other victims before anybody even finds out.
That's correct. Just to add to the statistics, just to let you know that, you know, what Cheryl mentioned before, is that about 40% of our calls are from men. People always think, oh, do you really get calls from men? 40% of our calls are from men. So how important it is to know what is happening out in the outside world and in the home for the guys. And I think that they need to be supported as well, because this is happening to them also.
Yes. Children who have been sexually abused may display a range of emotional and behavioral reactions, many of which are characteristics of children who have experienced mm-hmm. other types of traumas.
Mm-hmm.
So these reactions, they could include nightmares, withdrawn behaviors, angry outbursts, anxiety and depressions. There are many times that kids start acting out bar mitzvah to age. They may have been sexually abused before. After bar mitzvah age, they really start acting out. Their hormones are kicking in. And we have so many hundreds, by the way, phone calls with questions about these situations. Cheryl, can you elaborate on the different types of different ages and different stages, what you've seen as victims of abuse, please?
Sure. So it's important to note that when we see children, adolescents, young adults, who appear to be acting out, and we don't ask the question of, do you have a history? Did anybody ever touch you in an inappropriate way? If we don't have that conversation and we just assume they're a quote-unquote bad child or off-the-derech child, you know, the question needs to be asked, because what happens often is it's the abuse that they never, ever talk about, and because they internalize it and lock it up, that leads to alternative behaviors. Some of those behaviors, you may have a child who is acting out, as you said, Ruhama, or withdrawn. You may have a child who becomes hypersexual, very sexually active, and you may have one who becomes extremely withdrawn. What I like explain to my clients is that what happened to them was very abnormal. The abuse was abnormal. Their reactions, which they view as abnormal, when you put two negatives together, abnormal and abnormal, you come up with a positive. So their so believed abnormal behavior in response to their abnormal situation is actually very normal behavior given their history that they have. And I think the hardest things that I find for parents to understand is that this happened so many years ago, why can't they just forget it and move on?
Yes, we get that on our hotline all the time. and vaccination. Yeah. Because it's imprinted in their brain, in their heart. Cheryl, you want to go on, please?
So in terms of different age groups, I don't know that I would necessarily say specific reactions are prone at different age, you know, levels. But what I would say is that when someone is sexually abused, although they are continuing to grow chronologically and intellectually, emotionally they shut down. And the reason that happens is because they can't handle the abuse on an emotional level. And so they get stuck at that age, maybe 10, maybe 12, when the abuse started. And so although they may be 25, emotionally, they're stuck back at 10 and 11 years old. And that's the important therapy, is to help them work
through
that.
Right, that's a very important thing that parents need to realize and learn. And last night, Dr. Tricia Tia facilitates group parents for MASC, and 35 parents actually was in the group last night, and many of them have actually gone through this topic with their family members, and their children, their loved ones are on the road to recovery. The journey is long. Both family members, parents, and children are in therapy. Reach out to Sovery and other organizations that we could connect our listeners to get the right assistance, whatever it is they need to help them with this terrible, painful, most painful issue of child abuse, of sexual abuse, of incest. Chaya, Cheryl, time flies when we do this show. I have so many more questions for you. I want to thank you for being on our show tonight. I want to thank you for the work you do. I want to say you should have continued success and in helping these families. Please give out your number again.
It's 1-888-613-1613. And I wanted to just thank you and thank MASC for the work that you do.
We really appreciate the opportunity to really put the word out there and for you to keep the dialogue going.
Thank you. I want to thank our listeners for listening in every Thursday night at 9 p.m. And if you want somebody to be interviewed, call MASC 718-758-0400. Please write down the number. Maybe you need it. Maybe a family member or someone you sit next to in shul. Call our confidential helpline if you need a referral or a support group or a free naloxone kit for prevention of overdose of opiates. Thank you, everyone, for listening. I want to wish everyone a good evening and a wonderful Shabbos. Good night.
Thank you. Good night.
Well, the holidays are almost here. Well, hey, stop worrying. You need to get your mind off all these holiday preparations, and the best way to do that is with a really good laugh. And the best place to find it is at our hilarious post-Thanksgiving comedy night at the Westchester Broadway Theater on Tuesday, November 28th. Not one or two, but six of the funniest stand-ups from all the top comedy clubs. Richie Burns, Mike Fenoya, Warren Holstein, Moody McCarthy, Teddy Smith, and Rupert Vanderpool. An amazing lineup of New York's funniest comedians. And the best part is, before the laughs start, you'll enjoy a delicious served dinner with a choice of six entrees, all for just $84. You can even make advanced show-only reservations for just $50. Order tickets online at BroadwayTheater.com or call the box office at 914-592-2222. Get ready to give thanks for a great night of laughter at our hilarious post-Thanksgiving comedy night. One night only, Tuesday, November 28th at the Westchester Broadway Theater.
KCN, Talk Line Communications Network Radio, America's number one Jewish program.